Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1759 Osprey Point D LLC.
This is an application of Osprey Point D LLC. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MR-RPC medium density residential district residential planned community. For a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, from a parcel containing 126.8795 acres, more or less, for land lying west of Old Landing Road, being Road 274, 1.2 miles south of Warrington Road, being Road 275, with a 911 address of 20836 Old Landing Road, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and a tax map ID of District 334, map 18, parcel number 83. For the benefit of the record, this application was received originally on July 17, 2014, with the necessary form and survey site plan. The applicants provided an exhibit booklet on October 13 of 2014 describing the application. The applicants also provided two exhibit booklets for consideration of the traffic operational analysis dated October 22nd of 2014. The exhibit booklet contains a presentation guideline, a data sheet, preliminary site plans, map exhibits showing a location aerial map, a FEMA firm map of the area, a copy of the future land use map of the area, a copy of the state strategies map of the area, a zoning map for the area, sewer district maps, a copy of the preliminary land use service being the plus application for the property, and the applicant's responses to the plus comments, the applicant's responses to the technical advisory committee comments, the applicant's responses to the standards of Chapter 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance, a willing and able to serve letter from Tidewater Utilities Incorporated, and an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report for consideration. We were also received a letter from DLDOT dated October 27, 2014, referencing that DLDOT received the traffic operational analysis on October 22nd, that the department understands that the consulting engineer for Davis Bowen and Friedel Incorporated reports that the traffic operational analysis recommends the DLDOT consider the installation of a traffic signal at the intersection of Old Landing Road, Warrington Road, and Strawberry Way, extensions of the left turn lane on Warrington Road at Old Landing Road, and investigating as to whether additional auxiliary lanes are necessary or feasible. And that after DLDOT reviews the traffic operational analysis, they will provide recommendations on the analysis. I would also advise the commission, just for memory's sake, that this application was originally scheduled for public hearing on October 23rd, 2014, before the commission, and on December 2nd, 2014, before the Sussex County Council. And there were issues reported that several property owners in the area did not receive public notice. It was determined that the application would be re-advertised and that tonight's date was the first available for consideration of this application. I would also advise the commission that in redoing the advertisements, we sent 634 public notices, and to date we've received only 20 mail returns on these public notices. I would also advise the commission that to date we received one email in support and 143 letters, emails were received in opposition. I will say that some of those letters and emails are duplicated, since some parties have a habit of sending both an email or emails and a letter of the same document. Copies in the letters of the letters and emails will be made available later. We had trouble with our copier this afternoon. Some of the letters include copies of photographs of the property, and those photographs include references to rainfall and flooding tides on this property. And that's in summary. Yeah. We will provide those letters and emails to you as soon as possible. And that's all I have right now.
just for the benefit of the people here, and I heard some murmurs on that, those letters will be part of the record. They will be considered by the commission. I'm quite certain that no action is going to be taken this evening because it's a fairly complex application, which is the commission's sort of standard process. When there's something as complex as this, what they like to do is defer so they can consider the record. And that will include everything that's submitted tonight, as well as those letters that were referenced by Mr. Lang.
Hold on a minute.
And as well, Mr. Smith points out something that's important process-wise. This is an MRRPC, so it's a change in zone. So what that means is that this body, the Planning and Zoning Commission, makes a recommendation to Sussex County Council. And Sussex County Council will have a separate hearing on this and will also take into account the commission's recommendation, and that's scheduled for
February 3rd.
So there will be another opportunity to present information, listen to the applicant's presentation, and that sort of thing during the hearing on that date. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, again, before the applicant proceeds, I just passed down a copy of a document that was provided by the applicants on October 10th. And of 2014, and those documents include copies of a letter from myself dated July 28th of 2014, a copy of the comprehensive plan, future land use map, a copy of excerpts and marked pages from the comprehensive plan, the Sussex County zoning map, and the zoning ordinance section 115-28 and section 115-118, which are both the purposes of the MR and the purposes of the RPC zoning district.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, this application is filed by Osprey Point D, LLC. I'm representing the applicant. With me is Robert Marshall, who is seated right here. Mr. Marshall is the principal of the applicant and also is the owner of the property. And also with me is Zach Crouch and DJ Hughes of Davis, Bowen, and Friedel. For the record, as Lawrence stated, we had previously submitted an exhibit booklet containing the documents that Lawrence referred to. And what was just handed out to you was a document called a Comprehensive Plan, a Zoning Ordinance and Exhibits. I'm going to be referring to that in my presentation. This is an application to rezone a parcel of land containing 126.8 acres to an MRRPC. What's proposed is a development of 350 residential units that would be consisting of 170 single-family detached lots and 180 townhouse units with recreational amenities. No commercial use is being requested as part of the RPC.
Mr. Fuqua, if I could just interrupt you just for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, the applicant has is going to have a number of exhibits this evening, apparently, and this board over to my left and your right has been turned toward you for your benefit. However, it's very hard for you to see from where you're sitting. So if anyone would like to get up and come take a closer look at any time during the presentation, please feel free to do so. I just ask that you not have any conversation while you're there because we are going to be proceeding with the public hearing, and it makes it very difficult to hear the applicant when there's some side chatter over here. But if you wish to get up and take a look, closer look, feel free to do so at any time during the hearing. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, would it be better to put it over to the side?
It's fine. I mean, I think it's okay where it is, if everyone else is okay with it.
Okay.
Sure. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. The property is located on the west side of Old Landing Road. It's just south of Fairway Drive. The site currently is and has been since the early 1960s, the Old Landing Golf Course and Restaurant. As I said, Robert Marshall is the owner of the property. He has owned it in his own name since 1991, and the property has been owned by his family for over a century. The The property borders Fairway Drive and the Old Landing Woods development on the north. Mr. Marshall actually owns Fairway Drive. On the south, the site borders the Old Landing development. On the west side of the property, it borders Arnold Creek. And on the east side, it borders Old Landing Road. So just to get your bearings, obviously that's the site. Fairway Drive is here. This is Old Landing Road. This is the development, the woods at Old Landing. Arnold Creek, Old Landing development. And then across the road here is the Rehoboth Bay community and Sawgrass South. So as I just mentioned, on the other side of Old Landing Road is the Rehoboth Bay community, which I think you're familiar with. It's a large manufactured home development. And then directly across from our property is the Sawgrass South development, which is an MRRPC development approved by the county back in 2003. And that community contains 282 residential units, and it's comprised of single-family dwellings and townhouse units. As to the site itself, a wetland delineation of the property was performed by Environmental Resources, Inc. That study indicated that the site contains 16.66 acres of state tidal wetlands and 4.41 acres of federal Section 404 non-tidal wetlands. The wetland delineation was submitted to the Army Corps of Engineers, and a preliminary jurisdictional determination approving that was issued on December 23rd of this year. The proposed development will provide, at a minimum, a 50-foot buffer from all tidal waters and tidal wetlands, as required by the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. As to federal jurisdictional wetlands, as you know, there are no required buffers from federal wetlands under federal, state, or Sussex County ordinances or regulations. There was a plus comment from the watershed assessment section of DENREC recommending a 100-foot buffer, and that is a standard recommendation that we get in the plus comments from that department. However, as the plus comments state, those suggestions do not represent state code requirements and are in no way required, and that's on page 16 of the plus letter. That's really more a wish list from that section, but there are no requirements for that buffer. So as I said, there are no requirements for that buffer. A close example of that fact is directly across the street in the Sawgrass South MRRPC, where many of the single-family lots actually directly border the 404 wetland line. And they do that because it's permitted. With that being said, our development will provide a voluntary minimum 25-foot buffer from all federal wetlands. The development will be served by Tidewater Utilities, Inc., a public water company. And they will be providing the domestic water use and fire protection for the development. County sewer will be provided as part of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. In the record are the comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department, basically stating that the sewer system design assumption for this parcel was 4 units per acre. Which would be the equivalent of 507 units for this site. We are proposing 350 units, which is significantly less than the county's design assumption. The county engineer comments confirm that the site is in a county-operated sewer district, that wastewater capacity is available, that the sewer connection fee is $5,500 per EDU, which would be a total of $1,925,000 for the proposed 350 units. that appropriate sewer system connection points are available, and that the proposed project is within the planning study and design assumptions for sewer service. Electricity for the development will be provided by Delaware Electric Co-op. The property is in the Cape Henlopen School District and in the fire protection area served by the Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Company. And there are no federal endangered or threatened species associated with the site itself. Prior to having Zach Crouch actually review the site plan with you, I want to explain the legal basis for our application, which is based on the applicable county ordinances and state statutes. Now, I think it's pretty obvious that there is considerable opposition being expressed to this application. And, of course, you'll be hearing from the opposition after we've concluded our presentation. And I certainly would be the first to admit that if this land use decision was a popularity contest, our application would not be approved. In fact, most land use applications wouldn't be approved. But as you know, this application is not a popularity contest. Land use decisions are made based on the land use laws and regulations, which set forth the specific criteria to guide a landowner and the commission in reviewing a land use application and making your decision as to its appropriateness. Now, as I'm going to explain, that criteria, the applicable land use regulations, fully support and justify our request for this MRRPC rezoning. As a starting point, pursuant to state law, and that was the law known as the Quality of Life Act, Sussex County was required to prepare and adopt a comprehensive land use plan. That plan, the purpose of that plan was for determining where development was appropriate, directing development to those areas, and setting forth land use policies associated with those decisions. And under that law, the Quality of Life Act, a proposed development must be in conformity with the comprehensive plan's land use map and with other regulations enacted to implement the plan. And in fact, that law states that the land use map shall have the force of law, and no development shall be permitted except in conformity with that land use map. That's our responsibility, that's our burden to show you that we comply with that. So if a proposed development does not conform to the comp plan's map, it should not be permitted. And conversely, if a proposed development is in conformity with the land use map, then it is following the direction and the planning of the county and is entitled to approval. Now, in focusing on our application, I would like to refer to the exhibit packet that Lawrence handed out to you a few moments ago. It's the one that's entitled Comprehensive Plan and Zoning Ordinance Exhibits, and I'm going to be referring to that for the next couple of minutes. If you would turn to what I've marked as page C, section C of this exhibit contains certain sections of the comprehensive plan that I just want to mention. Those sections speak for themselves, so I'm just going to summarize what they say. On page 37 of the comprehensive plan, it states the importance of the future land use plan. It says the future land use plan, also called the future land use element, is probably the most influential part of this comprehensive plan. The county zoning regulations are intended to carry out the future land use plan. The future land use plan also designates which parts of the county are to be considered growth areas. If you turn to the next page, at the bottom, highlighted in the yellow, it states the structure of the future land use plan. It states the future land use plan divides Sussex County into two types of planning areas, growth areas and rural areas. And then you can see below that, underneath the growth areas, two of the listed growth areas are the environmentally sensitive development area and the mixed residential area. So both those areas are growth areas. If you then turn to the next page, which is page 315 of the plan, this is the section of the plan that talks about environmentally sensitive developing areas. If you then turn to the next page, it states that in the environmentally sensitive development area, under permitted uses, it states that a range of housing types should be permitted in the environmentally sensitive areas, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. And then at the bottom, it notes that central water and sewer facilities are strongly encouraged. The next section there is the mixed residential areas. And again, if you flip the page over, under that growth area, it states under permitted uses, again, a full range of housing types are appropriate in the residential area, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. Under density for the mixed residential area, it states the current densities in these areas range from a maximum of 4 homes per acre for single-family detached housing to a maximum of 12 units per acre for multifamily housing. And then under the infrastructure, again, it's noted that central water and sewer facilities are strongly recommended. Then if you would refer to the exhibit mark B, the first page of that exhibit is the color code index for the growth areas under the land use plan. The second page is an enlargement of the comprehensive plan's future land use map for the area where our site is located. And if you turn to the actual map there, I've kind of designated with stars there the appropriate location of our property. And as you can see, the majority of our site is located in the peach-colored area. And then a smaller portion is located in the white area with black stripes. Now, if you refer back to that color code, you'll note that the peach color is the mixed residential area under the comp plan, and the black striped area is the environmentally sensitive development area. As I've already mentioned, both of those areas are designated growth areas as set forth in the plan. So our site is located in a growth area, and in fact, two of the designated growth areas. Next, if you refer to Exhibit A in this packet, I had requested Mr. Lank verify the designations of our site under the comp plan's future land use map, which he did in this letter of July 28, 2014. And as you can see, Mr. Lank estimated that 60 to 75% of our site is located in the mixed residential area, with the remainder in the environmentally sensitive development area. Now, that's very significant considering that since the development will be served as part of the Sussex County Sewer District and will have central public water from Tidewater, that the residential densities recognized in the comp plan, particularly for the mixed residential area, would be appropriate. And the plan recognizes a maximum density in that area of 4 homes per acre for single family and 12 units per acre for townhouse units. The density we are requesting is 350 residential units on 126.8 acres, which is a gross density of 2.76 units per acre. So our requested density is very significantly less than the densities recognized as appropriate by the comp plan. And even under the RPC density calculation, which you know is a different type of calculation, that takes your total site acreage and you have to deduct your state wetlands and your actual road right-of-way. under that MRRPC calculation, the maximum density that would be permitted would be 403 residential units. So again, we are proposing 350, which is 53 units less than the MRRPC would permit. So the density we're requesting is less than the MRRPC density and significantly less than the density that the plan recognizes as appropriate. Next, if you would refer to Exhibit E. Exhibit E is the zoning ordinance, section 115.28. This is the purpose of the MR zoning district. And again, the purpose of the MR zoning district is to provide for medium density residential development in areas which are or which are expected to become generally urban in character, but where sanitary sewers and public water supplies may or may not be available at the time of construction. So, of course, as to our application, county sewer and public water are currently available. And with the considerable residential development that already exists surrounding our site, the area is basically already urban in character. So the surrounding residential uses include single-family homes, manufactured homes, and townhouses. And in fact, our property is basically the only or one of the only remaining undeveloped parcels in this area. The second page of Exhibit E is section 115.118, again, of the zoning ordinance. This is the purpose section of the RPC ordinance, or the RPC section. The purpose is to encourage large-scale developments to create a superior living environment through unified developments and using design ingenuity while protecting existing and future developments. And as Zach will explain when he goes over the site plan, our proposed development is consistent with the purpose of the RPC zoning designation. We believe that our requested MRRPC is totally in character with the surrounding area. If you now refer to Exhibit D in this packet, Exhibit D is the Sussex County Zoning Map Index. Again, that's just the color code index for the different zoning districts. Page 2 is an enlargement of the Sussex County zoning map for the area surrounding our site. I have again indicated the approximate location of our site with red stripes over the white background. And I think as you can see, our site is basically surrounded by lands colored in, I guess that's orange. But you can see it's our piece is basically outlined by that existing orange color. And again, if you go back and refer to the index, you will see that the orange is land currently zoned MR, medium density residential. So our requested MR zoning will be consistent and identical to the existing zoning that basically surrounds this parcel of land. In effect, it is an MR infill into an MR zoned area. In addition, directly across Old Landing Road from our site is the Sawgrass South development. That is an existing MRRPC. As I mentioned, it was approved by the county back in 2003. The Sawgrass South property was rezoned from AR to MRRPC. That's the same zoning change that we are requesting. The Sawgrass South MRRPC was approved as a mixed-use residential community of 282 units, and that's comprised of 106 single-family lots and 176 townhouse units. Our application proposes a similar mixed-use residential community of 350 units, comprised of 170 single-family lots and 180 townhouse lots. Now, for comparison purposes, Sawgrass South is approved with 62% of its units being townhouses. Our proposal is for 51% of our units being townhouses. So that's actually a lower percentage than the Sawgrass South project and consistent with it. As to density, Sawgrass South was approved for 282 units on a gross acreage of 139 acres, and that would be a gross density of 2 units per acre. However, I think as you know, gross density and gross acreage can be misleading. Of the 139 gross acres of Sawgrass, 63 of those acres are federal and state wetlands. So the gross density of Sawgrass includes those wetlands, and as you know, under federal, state, and even county regulations, you cannot build in wetlands. So if you actually deduct the unbuildable 63 acres of wetlands from Sawgrass's acreage, the real net density of Sawgrass is 282 units on 76 acres, which would be a net density of 3.7 units per acre. By comparison, our application proposes 350 units on a gross acreage of 126.88 acres. That'd be a gross density of 2.7 units per acre. And doing the same calculation, our site contains 21 acres of federal and state wetlands. Deducting that from our gross acreage leads a true net density of 350 units on 105.8 acres, or 3.3 units per acre. So in summary, our request, our proposal, has a lower percentage of townhouses compared to the total number of units, 51% that we're proposing as compared to 62% for Sawgrass South. And our net density, after deducting the unbuildable wetland areas, is 3.3 units per acre as compared to Sawgrass's net density of 3.7 units per acre. So in conclusion, we believe our request is totally consistent with and similar to the existing MR zoning surrounding our site, including the woods at Old Landing, which is zoned MR, and totally consistent with and similar to the existing MRRPC located directly across Old Landing Road from our site. And as I think I've shown, totally in accordance with the provisions of the Sussex County Land Use Plan and the future land use map. With that legal background, I'm going to turn this over to Zach Crouch to review the site plan. And he can have the podium.
Good evening. For the record, Zach Crouch with Davis Bone and Friedel. I am a professional engineer registered in the state of Delaware. Put the site plan. I'm going to get over the site plan, how we came up with the layout that's presented in front of you tonight. As Mr. Fuqua has stated, the proposed site consists of 170 single-family lots and 180 townhouses with a total acres of open space, which includes state and federal wetlands and amenity areas and the buffers of 54.6 acres, which is 43% as being open space. The buffers that Mr. Fuqua noted was the 50-foot buffers for the state wetlands, which is more than adequate around the perimeter of the site, the 25-foot setback, voluntary setback from the 404 wetlands, and then we have the 20-foot buffers adjacent to other residential properties around the perimeter of the site. The streets themselves will be constructed per the county requirements. As stated, streets will consist of sidewalks on both sides of the street, as well as street lighting throughout the development. We also, looking at the layout, we have two access points along Old Landing Road. The main access, which actually leads to, which is a boulevard, it leads to the clubhouse and pool, will consist of townhouses and then single families on both sides, the north and the south, which basically single families are to the north, single families are to the south, and basically the townhouse is centralized, since there's no surrounding townhouses. And what we did was there's an interior street to make sure that none of the single families or townhouses back up to the county road. We actually incorporated an interior road so that there's no lots that are backing the county road. And then we're going to provide a buffer between the county road and interior streets, which is going to consist of landscaping and berms, making a nice appearance as you ride down Old Landing and you're looking into the back of townhouses or single families. The amenities will consist of a pool and clubhouse, which is centrally located within the subdivision itself, tennis courts, half basketball court, a dog park, and then there will be 24 boat slips located in this area here, which will be used by the community. There will be no launch. There'll be no public launch or private launch. It would just be, there's a couple of public launches down the road and on the other side of Arnold Creek that they would have to launch their boats. But this would just be for docking their boat and to be utilized by the community itself. Phasing will consist of the main entrance that has the boulevard to be the first phase, since it consists of both single family and residential, and also the clubhouse feature. And then the south side would be the additional phase, phase two, and then of course the north side would be phase three. Of course, construction phasing will be dictated based on the number of acres that can be disturbed based on the count, based on the conservation district and Deneric. You cannot disturb more than 20 acres, but that would be, of course, outlined in the construction documents. I know there's been, of course, concerns, and it's pretty obvious out there that when it rains on the existing golf course as it is, there is some flooding that occurs.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let the man give his presentation, and you're going to get a chance to say what you want to say later on. Thank you. Go ahead.
And there, it's pretty obvious. I'm sure there's going to be pictures and exhibits tonight which are going to show that. Well, you know, the golf course started back in 1960 with nine holes and ended up, from 1960 to 1968, ended up with 18-hole golf course. And in the 1960s, there was no requirements for stormwater management, and there's no requirements as of right now for storm. I mean, there's no stormwater management in place for this golf course. It's been there ever since. As part of the design process and going through the regulatory agencies, we have to meet certain requirements based on Sussex Conservation District and Deneric. There's stormwater management, proposed stormwater management ponds, and also other green technologies that are going to be incorporated into this plan to make sure that the flooding that it has that occurs today will be improved. There's no interconnecting ponds whatsoever on this project. You know, when it rains, it goes to a low spot, and basically until it infiltrates, it stays there, or unless it's pumped out. So the stormwater management will consist of a hydraulic model which will interconnect ponds so that there will be a discharge. And all the, you know, storm events, the 2, 10, and 100-year storm would have to go through this model and, of course, be part of our design requirements and be approved by those two agencies. The soils There's concern about soils, but as far as construction, there is a requirement as we go through the county based on the cross-section of the roads, soil borings that will be performed to meet certain structural requirements for the road cross-section as well as the ponds. So during the design process, soil borings will be performed to do so. No on-site systems will be required on this. We will be having county sewer, so individual sewer systems will not be required, as well as water as well. No individual wells except for irrigation wells might be considered, but we do have public water, which will be provided by Tidewater. That pretty much sums up the site. I'm going to have DJ Hughes speak on behalf of the traffic. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. My name is DJ Hughes. I'm a professional engineer specializing in traffic. I did a traffic operational analysis for this project. As Jim stated earlier, project is proposing 170 single-family homes, 180 townhouse lots for 350 total, and that's what the TOA addressed. Service level evaluation request was submitted to Sussex County. DelDOT responded in June of last year stating no TIS was recommended, however, that a fee in lieu of would be required and that a TOA would be required. And I will note that while this is called a TOA, as you can see, it's a significant report. So it might not be a traffic study, but traffic was studied and evaluated in the area. This focused on the all-way stop, which I think everybody's familiar with at Old Landing, Warrington Road, and Strawberry Way. And as DelDOT noted, when they responded, no TIS was required. I'd expect to recommend a signal there, as well as a longer turn lanes. In addition, with respect to the townhouses, I'd like to note that townhouses generate significantly less than single families. And even though this is a rezoning for an RPC with singles and towns, you could use an AR1 generate a similar traffic equivalent with just singles. Another thing I want to note, there's a study that's been referenced. We paid the fee in lieu of in reference to the 2011 Old Landing Road traffic study done by DelDOT. While that was done in 2011, our TOA includes four intersections on Old Landing Road. Those were all counted in 2004, and the summer Saturday of 2013, August, was counted at the all-way stop. The final version of the TOA was submitted on December 9th, 2014. I believe Lawrence has the October version. I can leave this when I'm done for the record. And as I said, those counts did include 2014 year counts. That includes daily traffic counts on our Old Landing Road and peak hour traffic counts. There were eight committed developments that were addressed, and there was a 10-year build-out. The 10-year build-out assumed a flat 1.16 growth rate, and that's in addition to all the traffic from committed developments that was assumed. In addition to the fee that this development pays, which is going to be about $24,000, there's other developers that are obligated towards improvements. There's about a $500,000 in contributions that are obligated at the all-way stop, in addition to five signal agreements. With respect to offsite, the all-way stop has an existing, during a weekday, commuter peak hours. It actually does operate with what's considered acceptable level of service, summer Saturday, obviously, which is a concern most of the time in this area. You do have level service F. We projected 10 years out to 2024 and looked at development with all the committed development, the gross without Osprey, and then also with Osprey. Because of the level service F with the existing all-way stop, DelDOT required a signal justification study. We did a 12-hour count in June of 2014, and we evaluated all nine MUTCD warrants, and warrants one and two, which are your four-hour and eight-hour warrants, are typically required before DelDOT will even consider a signal, and that is the case here. After we determine a signal may be warranted and installed by DLDOT, if they choose, it's necessary to do the analysis. With a signal, the analysis projects no additional lanes would be needed. However, I think anybody knows that's driven on Warrington Road, the left turn lane, the existing left turn lane, is way too short today. Obviously, in the future, that would continue to be the case. So that would need to be extended, and that length, the exact length that will be extended, will be determined. With respect to site access, we studied three site access points. All three happen to be existing in this case. If you're coming south from the all-way stop on Old Landing Road, you get to Fairway Drive first, and there's no auxiliary lanes existing. We're proposing to add a 160-foot right turn lane. Coming to the next intersection, as you continue south, you have Bonair Drive, which is an existing access to Sawgrass right now. They do have a protected left turn lane. We will be adding a 5-foot bike lane and a 240-foot right turn lane. And then continuing south to Mirabella Lane, there's an existing bypass lane there, which we will have to convert to a left turn lane. 235 feet is the total length of that. We'll also be adding the right turn lane to serve our right turns entering Osprey. It's a 195-foot turn lane and a bike lane. Also on our frontage, we'll be doing local road improvements. Anything that doesn't meet 11-foot lanes, 5-foot shoulder standards will be improved to do that, so you have a shoulder. Anybody wants to ride a bicycle on the shoulder. In addition, you already have a shared use path on the opposite side of the street along the Sawgrass frontage. We will be building a shared use path as well, so you'll have the shoulder and the 10-foot shared use path for bikes and peds to use, which is good for considering safety. With respect to crash data, we did request that from DLDOT over the last 3 years, and when we request the data, DLDOT responds back with the data that is reported to them. So if somebody has a minor crash and doesn't report it to the police, that would not be in here. But they reported it 3 years. Over the last 3 years, there's been three crashes along the site frontage. All three were alcohol-related, and none involved two vehicles. So I'll let you interpret that as you will. And unless anybody has any questions for me, that wraps up the traffic portion. I'll leave this with Lawrence for the record.
Thank you, sir.
Chairman, I do want to submit proposed findings and conditions for your consideration. I'll hand those to Mr. Lang. And as you know, an applicant does not usually have an opportunity to present any rebuttal argument after the opposition has spoken. However, in this matter, there was a petition in opposition submitted listing reasons of the opposition, and I do want to comment on those concerns since I have been advised of what they are because they're stated in the petition. As an aside, an observation, the petition was an internet petition utilizing the Move On organization petition process. It enables a petition to be created, distributed, signed, and submitted all by the internet. It's the first time that I have seen it. Maybe you have seen it used before, but I haven't seen it. I expect you are going to be seeing it more often in the future. It's very efficient. It's very effective. And I do compliment the opponents on their creativity in using that. Obviously, it's a very efficient way of forming a petition. However, for the record, the petition states in the background, and I really just state this for the record, that the original public hearing was delayed due to some of the concerns that the opponents had raised in their petition. And as you know, that is not the case. The original hearing was rescheduled due to a mailing error, a notice of mailing or mailing of notice error by the county. That's why we're here tonight rather than several months ago. Now, as to the substance of the petition, the first stated concern is that our site plan basically does not align with existing communities along Old Landing Road for three reasons. And the first one is that our development has townhouses along Old Landing Road. Now, my initial response to that was, so what? There is no negative impact from that. Our site plan design has our townhouses facing Old Landing Road. So visually, you see the front of the townhouses, not the rear of the townhouses. Additionally, the front row of townhouses do not front on Old Landing Road. They front on an interior road. This is right in here. These townhouses front on the interior road. Now, the closest development, of course, to this area is Sawgrass South across Old Landing Road. Again, our front row of townhouses have a front yard setback of 30 feet from that interior road. The interior road is a 50-foot right-of-way. Between our interior road and Old Landing Road is an open space area, which is at least 100 feet wide. That, of course, is adjacent to Old Landing Road, which has a right-of-way of 50 feet. So these closest townhouses are approximately 230 feet from the property line of Sawgrass. Now, when you consider the fact that the houses in Sawgrass also have a setback from Old Landing Road, the result is that our townhouses are almost a football field length away from the closest homes in Sawgrass. On top of that, the houses in Sawgrass across from our site here, they don't really face in our direction. They face internally. They face toward one another. And I think most importantly, what is not stated in the petition is that Sawgrass itself contains 176 townhouses. 62% of that community is townhouses. So basically, the petition objects to the townhouses on our property, a football field away, but Sawgrass itself contains 176 townhouses. So as I said, my initial response remains the same. Basically, so what? There is no negative impact.
Ladies and gentlemen, please. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr.
The second non-aligned complaint, I've kind of already addressed, and I won't go over that in any detail, but it was that we're out of kilter with the density because Sawgrass density is only 2 units per acre, and ours is 2.7. Again, my response is, as I've already stated, number one, the Sussex County Land Use Plan places most of our property in the mixed residential area. The single-family density of 4 units to the acre and a multifamily density of 12 units per acre is recognized as a maximum that's permitted, but certainly is recognized that these can be potentially high-density areas. So we're in accordance with the comp plan. Even the system design assumption from the county engineering department regarding the sewer planning used an assumption that this development would be 4 units to the acre. So our proposed density is significantly less than the densities authorized by the comp plan and the densities planned for by the county engineering department. And again, as I already explained, the gross density stated in the petition include federal and state wetland areas. And when you deduct the 63 acres of unbuildable wetlands from the calculation for Sawgrass, their density is actually 3.7 units to the acre, which is greater than our requested density, net density of 3.3 units to the acre. So our proposed density is certainly consistent with the comp plan and with the existing development, Sawgrass, across the road from us. The third non-aligned complaint is that our proposed development significantly alters and disrupts scenic views along Old Landing Road. I will say in this point the opponents are being upfront about their position. They would prefer to have a golf course or 126 acres of open space along the road. I understand their position. I suspect that if the members of the Planning Commission lived in this area, that would be their preference also. And I will even acknowledge that if I lived in the area, that would be my preference also. However, there is no right to a scenic view. There is no right to a view. That is not the basis to oppose a development. You can't deny a property owner the right to develop his property in a manner that neighboring properties have already been developed in order to preserve the scenic view of those who are already there. If you want to preserve your view, you buy the property. That's the only way you can preserve a view. You don't try to place an unreasonable burden on an owner, particularly someone whose family's owned this property for over 100 years and basically predates all of the development that has already occurred on Old Landing Road. So there's really no merit to any of those points that are raised in that first objection. The second item of concern stated in the petition is that our site is located in a floodplain area, and development of our site creates risks of flooding to adjacent areas. And our site is, in fact, in a floodplain zone, as is Sawgrass South, as is Old Landing Woods, and quite frankly, as is a large portion of eastern Sussex County, particularly those areas surrounding the inland bays. FEMA has building requirements to be complied with. They're not optional. You have to comply with them. So anyone in those areas, that's the requirement that you're subject to. As far as flooding, Zach Crouch has explained the stormwater management. And as you gentlemen know, stormwater on this site is subject to very detailed state regulations as to its design of the system and discharge. And all stormwater management issues will be addressed in accordance with the applicable regulations, no different than any other development. The petition also states that the state has limited funds to address roads, sewer, and water. And it expresses concerns over who will pay for the improvements. Now, again, as you know, the reality of development is that the developer will pay for the road improvements as determined by DelDOT. The developer will pay for sewer improvements, impact fees, and connection charges as determined by Sussex County Engineering Department. And the developer will pay for water and infrastructure and other fees per its service agreement with Tidewater Utilities. These expenses are not paid by the state. They're paid for by the developer. The other concern expressed in the petition is that DENREC does not have resources to monitor and inspect stormwater management improvements. And again, the design of those improvements are reviewed and approved and inspected by the Sussex Conservation District. And the cost of that, again, is paid by the developer. The third concern expressed in the petition is regarding traffic. This development, like every other development, is reviewed by DelDOT, and the developer is required to fund the improvements per DelDOT's determination. As DJ Hughes explained, DelDOT has reviewed that. There are proposed improvements. We will be required to do what DENREC determines is the correct way to deal with the traffic issues. Also, as DJ stated, the traffic generated by our proposed MRRPC is similar in impact as the traffic that would be generated by an AR subdivision. So in summary, the objections raised in the move-on petition will either be properly addressed by the applicant in accordance with the required regulations, or are just not legitimate objections. And I would ask you to keep those responses in mind when the opponents present their testimony. As I mentioned earlier, this application is not a popularity contest. It's a land use decision. And regardless of whether no one opposed this application, or 216 people opposed it, or 2,016 people opposed it, this application and your recommendation would still be subject to the same applicable statutory requirements. This application is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. It's in accordance with the purpose of the MR and the RPC zoning designations. The development will be served by county sewer and central water. It is surrounded by land zoned MR. It's adjacent to an MR-RPC with similar mixed residential use densities, and certainly a development that has at least set a precedent for the appropriateness of that type of development in this area. This application complies with all the statutory mandates required for approval. In addition, I would have to mention that there's also a question which is not under the statutes, but there is a question of fundamental fairness in this matter. The Marshall family, over the years, have seen basically all of Old Landing Road developed around their property. Now, when their property seeks approval for development similar to what has occurred, some of the residents of those developments oppose, in effect, what they already have, with arguments that certainly could be raised against every one of their own developments and their own homes. We believe our application is entitled to your recommendation of approval, subject, of course, to whatever conditions you would deem appropriate. And with that, I am happy to advise you, I conclude our presentation.
All right, sir, we thank you, Mr. Fuquay, and we're going to allow the commission to ask you a few questions.